Well, welcome everybody. Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. I have the lovely Shana Kurlander here for episode 97. How are you, Shana?
Hey, Darren. How are you?
I'm very well. Very, very well. And I'm really looking forward to getting into some really interesting content. And the topic of today's show is Mandelbaum House and the wonderful world of residential colleges. Now, I don't know much about residential colleges, so I'm looking forward to hearing all about your stories, Shana.
Absolutely.
Now, for everybody out there that's wondering who Shana is, Shana has been the CEO of Mandelbaum House for the past 15 years. She lives on site with her husband and son. Her background has been as extensive and as it has been exciting. Shana has worked as a tour guide in Europe, visiting 35 cities and 11 countries on a six-week circuit for 3 years. She has been the team director on cruise ships in the South Pacific. She has worked as the business development manager for a Sydney tour company specializing in the international student market, as well as a tour guide for pub and school tours in the Rocks area. So Shana, I am very fascinated by that background. When did you have time for all that?
In my 20s.
And welcome to the show.
Thanks, Darren. Thank you.
My pleasure. So all that travel, did you have any favourite places or any particular places that were close to your heart?
I did. It's funny, I've been actually thinking about the Europe circuit quite a bit this year.
Yep.
It was in the early 2000s and, you know, I was young, I was free, every night, second night, different city, different bed, different adventure. And now that we're in lockdown, well, not quite in Sydney, it's been playing on my mind. I was imagining Sevilla.
Oh, yes, I've been there. I love it.
You've been there? It gets
that
hot. I wanted to just step back there. So I did a bit of Googling and I found a lovely video where they were walking down the back streets. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the bar where we did that. And wow. And that's where we saw this. So I've been quite sentimental. The other place that's been on my mind, have you been to the South Pacific, Darren?
Not really that much. Not really that much.
So I used to go on the cruise ships, which was fun, and there was a place called the Isle of Pines, and it is like the postcards, the white sand, blue skies, and the water is clear, and you can walk deep, still see your feet, and the sand is so soft, we used to get it and exfoliate. I'm thinking, how can I make my escape to the Isle of Pines? Probably not.
Well, hopefully you've still got some great photos and little videos that you can kind of refresh your memory of that lovely time.
True, true.
Yeah, but definitely, I love traveling too, and I'm missing my travel a little bit, but I suppose we all have to just kind of hang in there and we'll get there in good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get there in good time. But Shana, I'm fascinated by what you do, and even kind of, you know, further to what you've been doing in your whole history is really kind of living on campus, you know, kind of living that life, which is still a continuation of what you did on the cruise ship in a way, but it's now on land. Yeah. And it's as the CEO of Mandelbaum House. So Mandelbaum House is a residential college. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to hear more about, you know, who goes to residential colleges? Why do they go to residential colleges? Are there lots of residential colleges? Because it's a kind of a little niche market that I don't know much about. So tell us a bit more about
it. It is actually, you're right. So a residential college is where a student lives while they're studying at university.
Right.
The traditional colleges have been around for a few hundred years. The larger ones at Sydney Uni are in the beautiful Gothic sandstone buildings. Yep. You know, students go, oh, like Hogwarts. But Mandelbaum House is a modern college. We are only 24 years old.
Yeah.
And we attract a variety of students. As you probably could work out, a lot of them would be international and interstate.
Yep.
And a lot of them don't have any connections to Sydney or to Australia. So they want a soft landing spot, somewhere that will provide them with a community, with food, with Wi-Fi, activities, leadership opportunities, and a way not just to go to campus and commute, but to be actively involved. We also attract rural students.
Oh, okay.
Who, you know, Sydney Uni is bigger than some of their towns.
Yeah, that's true.
50,000 people on campus, and they may be from a town which has a few hundred. So that's really overwhelming.
Yeah.
So for those students, it's a good stepping stone. They know at the end of the day, there's a hot meal, there's someone to chat with, there's someone to cry with if they need it.
Yeah.
We have a pastoral care team, which I run with student leaders who we train. They get a lot of training, be it first aid, mental health, responding with compassion, RSA. So it's like a family atmosphere, and it's just, it's home. You may have seen on our website,
yes.
We have a song, Home Away From Home, which one of our students wrote.
And it's a fantastic song. Brilliant.
Isn't it? He's
great video.
Awesome. Yep. He's from Tasmania, originally from Singapore, and he wrote this song. He just played it one night, and I said, Kartik, we need to get this out there. And some of the students got together, and we made a video clip, and that gives you a good, you know, a good introduction to the college, who's here, what their rooms look like, what the food looks like. So they're the main markets we attract, but we also attract some local students. So some of them may have grown up in Sydney, but they're, for whatever reason, home is not the place for them to live while they're at uni, and others just want to experience college. They want to experience campus life. They don't want to commute, you know, in and out of campus. They want to be here for the trivia night, you know, at the pub across the road, or the formal dinner we're doing, or the or to be at the library, close to the library, whatever it is.
And I think that's the word you used, experience. I think for the young people that are just going into university, it is a chance to have a life experience. And if you were just, you know, living in an apartment with a couple of friends, or living in a hotel, or commuting in a couple of hours a day, you wouldn't get that experience.
That's true.
It really makes a big difference. And, you know, you can meet some friends in that you're going to be, that are going to be the cornerstones of your friend circuit for the rest of your life.
And that is the key. People do make friends for life.
Yeah.
We do have some students who came to Sydney wanting to be independent, and they are independent living with us, but they may have a misconception. And they do end up having an apartment, and for some it works really well, but for others it can be a lonely experience. Some students don't factor in that in order to eat, you actually need to get to the supermarket, you need to bring it home, you need to cook, you need to clean. And, for example, next door there's another residence which is self-catered, and that's excellent for students who are independent and who do have the time to cook and clean. But I can't tell you how many times a day we get Deliveroo or Uber Eats popping on our door thinking we're next door. And I'll go, you know, pizza for Peter. And I'm like, no, that's next door. But next time, Darren, I think I'm going to say, I'm Peter. So it gives them, you know, that sense of community, and particularly if that it is their first time away from home.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, perfect. So,
there's sometimes a misconception that it's like a boarding house. It's not. There's no curfews. However, if we don't see someone over a few days, or we know that someone's having a rough time, we're there for them.
Awesome, awesome. And I must say, like, I, as a photographer, I've done a bit of work for you guys, and I came, I think, a couple of years ago to photograph
alumni trivia.
Yeah, trivia night.
Yeah.
What struck me was the warmth and the camaraderie of everybody there. That it was just so beautiful, and you could really see the result of what you're talking about. You know, they were all there helping each other out, friends, you know, they made friends for life, they were having fun, and it was a really, really lovely bunch of people and a really warm environment.
I'm glad you felt that.
Anyway, so I really enjoyed my trivia night photography that day.
We'll do another one.
Absolutely. So in terms of Mandelbaum House per se, I mean, there's lots of different residential colleges, I'm assuming. Why is Mandelbaum House, or how is it different to some of the others?
Okay. We're one of the smallest colleges in Australia. Yep. So we have 38 students, where most of them are over 200 students.
Wow.
So it's a bit more like a family. Actually, a few years ago, we had a student from the Bahamas, and we have a, I'm going to digress, Darren. We have a farewell formal dinner at the end of each semester. And I'll never forget, she stood up and she said, you know, I love living here. It's been like a family. a dysfunctional family at times. And I was like, oh. And then I let it sink in and I went, every family has its ups and downs.
I was about to say, everyone's got some dysfunction in their family.
Exactly. Not every day can be, oh, wow, you know, this is for dinner, or, oh, wow, they're playing their music really loud. So that's so being a smaller college, they know everyone they live with. So if there are issues, they can easily work it out. They get to know their neighbours. They get to know everyone in the building. Also, being a smaller college, we can. It's more of a boutique experience. So the chefs get to know them. So we offer 18 meals a week. Right. And if they can't be here for a meal, the chef, they can either organise a takeaway meal or a late meal. So if the chef sees their name and, you know, let's say Barry wants a late meal, and let's say Barry puts down meat, vegetables, and whatever, the chef's putting it down. He goes, oh, yeah, you know, Bazza, he really likes broccoli. I'll give him a bit.
Oh, how cool.
So it's that personalised experience. Also, the college was founded by a woman, which I think is quite unique. I don't know of any other college in Australia. Her name was Rachel Lipton, but her maiden name was Mandelbaum. Right. And she was fascinating. She studied at the university over 100 years ago during the time of the Great War.
At Sydney University.
She was a nice Jewish girl. Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Wow.
A Jewish, young Jewish woman. Her father was a rabbi in a Broken Hill out there.
Wow.
And she wanted to study. And there was nowhere on campus for a nice Jewish girl to have kosher food and, you know, meet other Jewish people and Jewish learning. And so Rachel had a couple of husbands along the way, but no children. Right. So she decided she wanted somewhere on campus at Sydney Uni which would have Jewish values, but be open to students of all religions. So with the Jewish values, for example, and practices, we have kosher food. Yeah. So there's no bacon. And when I interview each student, I always let them know, you know, there's no bacon for breakfast, but we do have excellent bagels or shakshuka or cocoa pops.
You never go wrong with Jewish cooking, don't worry.
No. So that makes us unique, and I think we're actually the only, I know we're the only fully kosher college in Australia and probably the Southern Hemisphere.
Wow,
but we also like to celebrate where our students are from. So a few times a semester we'll have a theme night, and coming up this semester we're doing, we've got one student who's from the Baha'i faith and another one who's from the Sikh faith.
Wow, cool.
So what we do is students don't have to be of those religions, but they'll decorate the dining room, put on some fun fat saying, did you know, da da da, and the chef will make a meal to compliment. So
nice.
Yeah, we get to celebrate. We do Diwali most years, and I think
I'm gonna come and move there. It sounds like much more exciting than my life.
We actually have rooms at the moment, which is really unusual. We don't usually.
Wow, that sounds amazing. I mean, what an experience. It's a cultural awakening, as well as a scholastic education, as well as an experience where you can meet friends and contacts the rest of your life.
And that happens, as you saw when you were there, and people really do. I think it's wherever. I mean, young people are always out to meet new people. So I think if whether they live with us or a larger college or one of the other accommodations, they'll do that. But I see the friendships they have formed here so different to when I was at uni. You know, I made really good friends, but we were in a lecture together, maybe hung out at Manning Bar for an hour or two or three. And then we went home. We weren't, you know, having breakfast together or playing pool or, you know, doing gelato runs at midnight, whatever.
Cool. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it is a different experience. And even when I went to uni in Sydney, and I kind of was a little bit jealous of the people that lived on Sydney campus, because I saw they had a camaraderie and a different experience that I didn't have. I was, you know, very happy at home, but I felt that it was something different that I probably would never have experienced until I went traveling later on as a backpacker.
Yeah. So
really a lovely thing to do.
Good.
So in the last 3 to 6 months, things have been a bit challenging. How has COVID affected you guys?
Great question. So the idea of a residential college is to bring people together, to bring community together, to have bonding experiences. We have a formal dinner once a month where we bring in a guest speaker. The dining room chairs are usually close together, tables together. We've had to modify a lot of our operations. So first thing we did was separate the chairs and the tables. We no longer have a buffet, so there's a chef serving. Everyone needs to be distant when they come to the counter. I mentioned that our numbers are unfortunately down. It's the first time. I've been here for 15 years. Wow. It's the first time, you know, we haven't had a full house. And the downside of that is we are a not-for-profit, so it is affecting us. However, the upside is it allows us to be safer with our COVID practices. So in most rooms, we've got 21 students at the moment. There'll never be the issue, oh, there's too many people in that space. Yep. And the students, they've been amazing. For some of them, it was their first time ever away from home. A year they've been looking forward to. I mean, I always, this year I've been reflecting when I was 18, I went on a kibbutz for a year, total freedom. We used to hitchhike.
Don't get me started. Now, oh my God.
Oh yeah, so nothing surprises me when something happens to you. But my heart goes to them because they want to, you know, give each other hugs when someone's had a rough time, or they want to
just celebrate something.
Birthdays. So what we've tried to do here, I think one of the most important things during a challenging time is to keep routine. Yep. So we've tried our best to continue the routine we would have. So we still are having the theme dinners I mentioned. Nice. But instead, you know, the tables are separated. In previous years, for example, when we've had one for Israel, we've had students come and make falafel together. Nice. We couldn't do that this year. The chef made the falafel. When it comes to the everyday life, they respect and they know that it's different. When, you know, throughout the college, there's signs, there's hand sanitizer, there's everything, which it didn't upset me at first, but I really want to create a home here. And there's, you know, you don't want your home to be, you know, only six people in this room, or you must sanitize, but we've had to do it. Yeah. And I'm very fortunate the students we attract are sensible and are doing the right thing.
Awesome. So, I mean, you know, everybody's just doing their part to kind of be as safe as possible, but still have it as a rich, enriching experience as possible in their time. And why shouldn't they?
Yeah. Exactly. And actually, one more thing that just came to mind, something that surprised me, but it didn't, exams last semester, they did really well, the ones who stayed here and the ones who actually left as well. Because I get their results, it's part of their contract.
Oh, is that right?
And the amount of distinctions and high distinctions these students got during a pandemic, I was like, wow.
And why do you think that is?
I think it's because they couldn't go out. They couldn't go to the Three Wise Monkeys or whatever. I think it was because they realised they needed to do something productive. And most of them, I think, have probably achieved the best results they've ever had. But that's not the be all and end all for me. It's the rounded person, which is why at a residential college as well, we try to provide as many leadership opportunities. Being a small college, the students, even in their first year, they can be the president of the resident society, or they can be a fire warden for their floor, or they can organize one of those theme nights, or introduce the chancellor at a special formal dinner. So it's important that they do obviously study, but when I'm interviewing students, I want students who want to be involved, who want to contribute to community. And just last week I was a referee for one of our alum, and I'm finding more and more again when I receive these, you know, referee phone calls, they are asking, how is that person handled conflict? How has that person, how do they get along with others?
Brilliant.
And I think they develop those skills naturally that not only serve them well while they're here, but when they're in the workplace or if they do move to an apartment or with their partner, they've learned to negotiate.
Absolutely. And that's a really good point, because a lot of the time people have to have some work experience to start gaining some of those skills and even the softer skills that we're talking about. But if you can start accessing and refining some of those skills before you even do that at a with a college experience like that, what a great set of, you know, skills and requirements and characteristics to set up a child in the future.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. Really, really, that's really welcome. In terms of stories, I love listening to stories and hearing about, you know, obviously being very confidential, but
yeah,
you know, maybe just paint a picture as to how, you know, students have thrived in that environment and how they might have kept in contact with you over the years, or, you know, I'd just love to hear a little bit about some feedback as to their experience.
Yeah, that's a great question. So they do, as we've talked about, they make lifelong friends. And for me, the beautiful thing is seeing this, you know, innocent or maybe not, you know, student move in, a bit nervous, a bit trying to find their own identity. I've seen many students who have maybe hidden their sexuality before they came to university. They may come from a culture where to be gay is not, you know, something you promote, but I've seen them, you know, find their voice and to blossom and even find partners here, both heterosexual and homosexual, and I'm sure everything in between. So lots of great stories of that. And also just friendships. I remember a few years ago we had a student, one was from Melbourne, the other was from Mozambique.
Wow.
And the third was from America. And these three girls formed this beautiful friendship. And for Melbourne Cup, they all went to Melbourne and stayed at one of their houses. And then the next summer, they went to Mozambique. And then the next summer to America. So, you know, there's a bed to stay in every country. And I was actually in touch with one of our alumni yesterday. She happens to be, I can never pronounce this word, an epidemiologist. And we'd actually booked her to come and speak to our students at the beginning of this semester, but we booked it last year, not realising, hey, there's a real pandemic on its way. And because we weren't able to invite her physically in to speak, we've been talking about doing a Zoom session with her. And she's someone who lived here for 4 years. And she met her husband here. He lived here for 5 years. But their years, didn't, it crossed in the middle, but he came, they were together, and then she stayed. And a colleague and I went to their engagement. And, you know, we're at this beautiful engagement in the Rocks area. And there were students from 9 different years.
Wow.
8 years. And just to be in that room, and some of them knew each other really well, but some hadn't met because they were a few years apart. So they're the kind of stories, you know, that make me feel warm and fuzzy.
I can imagine, for doing it for 15 years, you must be must be incredibly rewarding. And that's the kind of thing that keeps you going.
Well, it does. And no 2 days are the same. And it's especially rewarding when you see students who are from different cultures. We had two students a couple of years ago. One was from Israel and one was originally from Iran, but Persia, but from the US. Yep. And both these young ladies were chatting one night. You wouldn't usually get an Israeli and an Iranian in the same room, about their grandmother's cooking. And wow, they realized their grandmothers had the same recipes.
No way.
So cool. It was. So we had a Persian night and some of our other students helped decorate the room, and the chef, one of them got her mum's grandma's recipes and the chef made Persian food. So,
oh my God. Shana, know, I think I've got to get on the email list for the dietary requirements here. I might just rock up tomorrow night for dinner. Oh, here we go.
Well, I'll tell you something about dietary requirements. There's more vegans these days than vegetarians.
Is that right?
Fine, there you go.
Yeah, it's all changing.
We did both, but...
Wow, I mean, that's sensational. And I must admit, when I came to photograph as well, the trivia night, I remember that there were a lot of past alumni and past students from before that had still maintained contact with each other and with you guys. And they were so happy to be part of the whole trivia night as well. So it was a testament to exactly what you're saying.
You know where I thought you were going to go with that?
Yeah.
You came to photograph last year with Eddie Jacob.
Yes, of course. That was amazing. That is amazing.
So that's something else. I mean, he, as you know, he's a hundred year old Holocaust survivor.
Incredible.
He just released a book this year. I don't know if you've had a chance to
No, I haven't.
Yeah, he just released a book. He did a TED Talk last year. And I think having someone like him as part of our community, each year he's come and given a dinner, a formal dinner. And he calls himself the happiest man in the world, even though he went through the Holocaust. And over the years, when students phone me or they pop in, they always say, "How's Eddie?" And the reason being is he tells them, even if you're having the worst day, think of me.
It puts things into perspective.
It puts it into perspective, and they realise, you know, sometimes there's real issues, mental health or health issues, but they've said to me over the years, "You know what, I didn't do as well in that assignment," or "My boyfriend wants to break up, but I thought of Eddie and I thought, you know, his courage, his wisdom."
Great.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I met Eddie doing a few shots for you last year as well, and he was incredibly positive and warm, and, you know, his perspective was incredible. How did you actually connect with Eddie in the first place?
So, and I've had a few other jobs than the ones we mentioned. I worked at Shalom College years ago as the Hillel director, and my role was outreach for Jewish students across New South Wales. Gotcha. And we were visiting some regional campuses in Bathurst and Wollongong and Newcastle, and Eddie was, I guess, 25 years ago. He was 75 years young. He looks the same at 100. And I said, I contacted the Holocaust Museum, and they said, "Look, Sydney Jewish Museum." I said, "I'd like to bring a Holocaust survivor to meet these students because they don't necessarily get this opportunity." So Eddie said, "I'll come along for the ride." And it was incredible, Darren. I haven't thought about this in years. It was on the campus, there was a big like cafeteria, and it was open to all students. And there would have been about 80 to 100 in the room. And he stood up. He's very well poised, and he gave his story. We were meant to leave to drive back to Sydney, but everyone wanted to speak to him. And even a few years after, random people would come up to me, like my students do, and say, "Were you that woman who was with Eddie?"
Wow.
And so that's where I met him. And when I took on the role at Mandelbaum House, we started inviting him to come and speak to our students. So
amazing. It's been I can imagine that they would just be all ears, absolutely glued
to
everything he says.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think just for everybody out there, I think Eddie's done, is it a TED Talk or a TEDx Talk?
Sydney TEDx last year. But he's in the recent months, he's been on quite a few shows like The Project and other local Australian shows because of his book. And his book, my son told me, he said, "Mum, did you know Eddie's book's number one?" And I'm like,
wow, fantastic. So, Eddie Jaku is a sensational human being, incredible guy, positive, you know, and definitely worth looking up and trying to have a bit of a listen to what he's had to say.
And what we've done is, you know, we've made an award in his honour. So we call it the Eddie Jaku Mensch Award.
Yep.
Mensch is German word, man, Yiddish, for someone who's good, humble, someone who's does the right thing. So each year our students get to vote one of their fellow college friends who they feel has these Mensch-like qualities. And I think you met the students last year. We had one.
It was a guy and a girl. Yep. I remember.
Yeah. Mexican and an Indian student who the students felt were exuded that and were an integral part of our community.
Wow, fantastic. So, I mean, that's another example of the type of enriching experience that you can get from coming to Mandelbaum House that you might not just get everywhere else. It's all these extra add-ons and extra benefits that make you who you are, especially in those younger years that form you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So in terms of what's happening for the future, any plans for Mandelbaum, anything different, anything special?
So just prior to this, I had a meeting, another Zoom, for fundraising.
Right.
It's really important to me that Mandelbaum House is not a place exclusively for students who can afford to live here. Mm. We attract, as I said, many outstanding students. This year, we introduced 2 Indigenous scholarships, and we have 2 amazing Aboriginal students living with us.
Yeah.
We do have other scholarships, but we just don't have enough money in our funds to provide enough scholarships for the amount of people who want to live here. So we had 9 applicants this year and could only award 5. Yeah. So that's our big project, because we want to make sure that money is not a barrier for someone to live here. Yeah. And even though we're a Jewish college of a Jewish ethos, some of our students they don't have to be Jewish to receive a scholarship. We're looking for a combination of academic merit and also financial need. So that wasn't meant to be a plug, by the way.
No. So in other words, that's just a strategy or something that you have that you're conscious of for the future.
Yeah, because we're also, usually I try to keep the college even between Aussies and internationals. And because of COVID, we've lost a lot of our international market. Yeah, yeah. And we don't even know if, you know, I have some of them even left all their belongings in their room, one from Melbourne, yeah. India, South Africa, Singapore, all thinking that they'd, you know, come back at some time. Yeah. And unfortunately, they can't at this point of time. So it's important that we get ourselves out there and that we can support any student who wants to have the Mandelbaum experience.
and why shouldn't they? And I suppose that you guys generally want to keep things small. You don't want to grow too big. You're happy at that 35 to 40 number?
It would be great if we could for economies of scale. There's no room. I mean, we could possibly build up. When the college was built, the land was actually donated by the University of Sydney. Right. So we're on a peppercorn lease. And you've been there, it's a small block. And they've built the business school and a new accommodation on either side of us. There was an opportunity. The university did ask us for a wish list. And on our wish list, we did say to them, because they wanted to move us to the right a little. They wanted to move our building. They could build their business school. And on our wish list, we wanted to maintain what we have here, Darren, which is a lot of common areas. We wanted dining room. We've got a library. We've got a games room. We've got a lounge room. And there's little alcoves on each floor. And we wanted to to have this communal space. However, the University of Sydney, there's a shortage of beds on campus. So they needed to get more beds in than, you know, libraries and things. So unfortunately, they didn't go with our wish list, but we're happy. You know, we are unique. Most colleges, as I said, are over 200. So the students who do find us are usually happy. For some, you know, we may be too small. You know, I've had the odd student over the year who's like, actually, you know, I want to play rugby. I want to be part of a team. And that's great, because there's those opportunities. We've had others who are, you know, I actually want to cook and I want to put up my own fairy lights. Well, they can do that here. But, you know, and then, you know, they've moved on. But they still remain in touch.
That's which nice. Is nice. That's nice. Don't worry, you had me at the cuisine. I'm in.
That's pretty good. It's actually checked by a nutritionist as well. Oh, because students these days are health conscious, which is great. When I first moved here 15 years ago, they wanted schnitzel,
pasta. Yeah.
Exactly. We reach a stage of schnitzel every week. But now we don't have it often, but we do sometimes, because you need the balance. So if we put schnitzel, there'll be big grilled chicken on the side. Yeah. A lot of them say they want the grilled chicken, but then they
say, I'll just have one piece.
Yeah. But sushi is more popular these days.
Very good. That sounds great. And, I mean, if people want to kind of get to know maybe a little bit about Mandelbaum House and find out, you know, answer some questions, find out a bit more about what the experience will be like if they're searching for residential stays, what's the best way for them to kind of find out?
We've got a website and it's got a lot of information there. So that's probably a good starting point. We have, as I mentioned, the video clip, which gives you a good roundup. We also have 360 degree tours around the college, which is fantastic, particularly at the moment for people who can't travel here. Yep. Social media, that's run by our students. So we have Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, I need to work on, I need help. and they can just call me. Great. Or email or drop in. I'm doing a lot of Zoom talks at the moment, so whatever suits. If someone is interested as well, an interesting part on our website is the blogs, and they're all written by our students, maybe the odd one by me, but that gives an insight from a student's point of view, not from, you know, me flogging the college. So,
and what exactly do you mean by 360 degree?
It's really cool. It's really cool. So it's a company called Paper Monkey, and what they've done is they came and they set up these cameras, and you can maneuver yourself through the college. So you can look in a room and do a 360 degree tour.
Almost like Google Maps or Google Earth.
It's like Google Maps, yeah. Oh, so it gives people, but it's not a video where you have to follow the video. You can walk through the college, and it's just to, you know, it means people can check us out without, you know, feeling that they have to come here or feel obliged that, you know, that they can check it out themselves.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Shana, that's been an absolutely fascinating discussion. I mean, I've learned so much more about residential colleges, in particular Mandalbam House. So if I had my time again, I'd be there. But maybe if you want to, would you like to leave the guests?
We take postgraduates.
Oh, all right. Maybe I've got to study. I've got to think of what I'm going to do. But at the end of the interview, I'd always love to ask everybody just to give us a, you know, a little point or two about what would be great about coming to stay at Mandalbam House, or if people are looking to, you know, have a college experience, what should they look out for, or what should they, you know, what would Mandalbam House give them?
Okay, so what people should look out for is, first of all, do your research. Look at a variety of accommodations. We're very lucky at Sydney Uni and other universities as well that it's there's the whole spectrum. So you may think, oh yeah, I want to be independent. But as I said before, there's the flip side of, you know, when you're in COVID, for example, of not having people around. Also, people often look at the price first, which is understandable, but they don't realise that a college packages it all. It includes the food, the utilities, the common areas, the Wi-Fi. And what I've had some students who've applied later have said, I thought it was cheaper if I lived in an apartment or if I lived at one of the commercial places, but that I forgot to count in that actually I need to buy pots and pans. Yep. I'm locked into a 52-week lease. So a lot of the commercial accommodations, and which may suit some people, it's a proper 52-week lease, where the residential colleges, the lease is around the university academic semester with an option to extend. Yep. So that's really important. Yep. And I guess I'll end with the song. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. But as Kartik said in the song, it's a home away from home. So it's, you know, it's a pivotal time in a young person's life. It's, for some of them, it's their first time stepping, you know, into a new phase, a new country, or just, you know, a new experience. And it's a way to meet people you wouldn't meet necessarily in your lecture. You may be studying music, but you're having dinner with someone studying education or economics. You may be from America, and you may never have met someone from Malaysia. So it opens the mind.
Definitely. I can just, you know, that for me, that's one of the biggest benefits, it sounds like. You really build your awareness of life, different culture, different cuisine, different customs, different attitudes, and that in itself is a huge benefit that you wouldn't get if you stayed in a normal, you know, accommodation scenario.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, fantastic. And I'm going to put all the links for everybody to the song and to the website and everything in the show notes so people can check it out. And the song is amazing. So Shana, thank you very much again for coming on the show. It's been a fascinating discussion.
Thank you.
And everybody out there, if you're looking to, you know, explore some residential colleges, definitely check out Mandalbam House. And, you know, it's a fantastic place to be, and I'm sure that you'd thrive. So for everybody out there, have a great afternoon. We'll be back very, very soon for another episode. And bye-bye for now.
Bye. Thanks, Darren.
Pleasure.